Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we pray for understanding and guidance and the wisdom to live faithfully to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to live faithfully to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, and we are alive today. It is God's plan and purpose that we are alive now. I think the words in the book of Esther, "We were born for a time such as this. God put us here and now, and we want to live faithfully to Him, here and now." As a part of living faithfully to God, I think another few words are appropriate, right out of the Bible. Be not deceived. And this is a challenge. When we live in the here and now, there is so much going on around us that we can hardly discern what is important. Our minds get distracted. Our attention gets to this and that. And we need to pay attention to what is the most important. Just like you, I have that concern. And I have to remember that I see the events going on around us. And I have to realize and remember that this is mostly a spiritual battle. That's what it is primarily, a spiritual battle. So we ought to remember to pray and to think of Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, supplication, that is humbly asking, and with perseverance, and that is with an unwavering prayer. So these days, with all that's going on, with what's in the news, well, aren't we just aware of so many things going on? Yes, but always remember how awesome the goodness and power of God is. The worldly news talks about things that are too often unpleasant, and it seems like we can only absorb so much bad news before we just can't take it anymore. We just can't allow it into our thinking. So this is a plan also, I think, to overwhelm our reasoning abilities, to turn us into people who are generally unaware and generally compliant as a population. So it's a condition that in a way is sort of like a controlled population, because in the world there are plenty of populations that are really quite controlled. We've read about them in the books, in the papers. I've spoken to many people about a controlled society, in one which fear dominates everyone's thoughts and concerns. And there's many examples of this today, where you must conform or you are in fear of your safety. Often enough, in a communist nation today, it is a big concern. Why, there's China, there's Russia, there's Venezuela, North Korea. These are the most notable countries today where those concerns are of fear. And there are also Islam-oriented countries where the same kind of concerns exist, where you must conform or you will feel fear for your safety. Indonesia and Iran, and even the oil-producing countries of the Middle East, they all have this concern where you must conform or you fear for your safety. Well, we are all concerned for our freedom here in the United States. Yes, but it's a little bit different. Like I said, we are in a spiritual battle, a battle which is taking place on a physical and cultural and a legal battlefield. But it is a spiritual battle for sure. And we want a part in preserving freedom, don't we? Yes. Yes, and what is that part we can do? We can firstly pray. And then when it is legal and right, we stand up and oppose evil if it's in front of us. And I remember that quote by Edmund Burke. He lived in the 1700s, but he was very famous for various quotes. He said, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Well, sometimes we really can speak out boldly, and sometimes we can only speak out in a whisper and say a little bit of something, and sometimes we can only pray. But there's always something that we can do, something that opposes that which is going on if it is not in God's righteous goodness. Yes, so a part of our job here is to oppose evil, and we stand for God's righteousness. I remember ex-President John F. Kennedy Jr. He was saying once that the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. He said that also. And sure, there was a lot of things that went on in that family. And still, he was a president, our president, and he was trying to do the right things. I remember seeing his assassination on the television. And I still remember that television. It was a black and white TV, and you had to get up and go to it to change the channel or the volume. Times have changed. We don't have that situation anymore. It sure is nice to have a remote control. Well, times have changed, but the hearts of men have not. Men, and when I say men, I mean mankind. It still has, in general, a lust for power and a desire for pleasure. That's mankind. And John F. Kennedy, Jr., our ex-president, he had men around him who had the lust for power also. And that today continues. There are still remnants of that culture that continues to this day. And I suppose that that's why the John F. Kennedy Jr. assassination documents have been kept from us for, well, now it's just about 54 years or something. And about these days, what do we have? 2,800 papers were released. 2,800. But 300 of those files will still be kept a bit longer, and we don't know how much longer. Well, and don't even guess how many of those pages do or will have blacked out portions to keep some kind of a secret perpetually hidden from us. Well, what are they hiding? There's just too many possibilities. It seems to be that there is an FBI and a CIA involvement, jointly and separately. Or it just might be that they're trying to hide that there was the alleged shooter, alleged, he was, well, anyway, that he was once, Oswald, that he was once a CIA employee. That came out in those papers. That Oswald and his killer, Jack Ruby, went to Cuba together, for that was some months before that assassination. There are just things going on to be aware of that we don't understand even to this day. Back in the 60s and today, there are secret agencies or agencies that have secrets, and certainly they have every appearance of being above the law of the land. That's for sure. And have you heard of the NGA? That one's pretty new. Anyway, new to me. NGA, it stands for the National Geospatial Agency. Lately, there's been a rumor that they are investigating the CIA. Sounds pretty dangerous. Oh. So, what could they be investigating? It might be about the ties that our CIA has with Great Britain's MI6 intelligence agency. That seems to be a little problem these days because the CIA, they say that they've cut their ties with MI6 because there has been MI6 has released some information about that shooter, Stephen Paddock, in Las Vegas, and that he was a CIA gunrunner. That's one of those things that are talked about a little bit. And separately, that the CIA was a part of the child smuggling ring to keep deep state agents satisfied. What a terrible thing. Could it be true? Well, there's been other terrible things that just seem too terrible to contemplate, but they might be true. And we have to remember that an agency should not be above the law. You know, it's not right to provide illegal things to people, and that is apparently one of the things that has been done by our intelligence agencies. You see, it seems like they can do whatever to whoever they can just to get the intelligence that they want. And so what do? They do it too often. Anyway, that's what's talked about sometimes. Is it a long-standing pattern? Yeah, pretty much. There are just questions all over the place. Will we know the answers? I don't know. Sometimes these subjects are just all too strange and all too obscure to pay reasonable attention to. But there are hints of the discussion, and our thoughts can go there because they are presented in a reasonable fashion. But you still have to look. If you don't look, you won't see. It's important to be a patriot. I certainly had that in my family. My dad was very patriotic, and he certainly supported, for instance, what happened in World War II. And yet he knew about the rumors which said that Pearl Harbor was an event that was planned to get the United States into World War II. Lots of rumors that happened. And I had a neighbor, he was very patriotic, and he supported the Korean War. And he joined the army to get into that fight. He knew about the rumors. He knew about things going on, that the United States was disclosing the battle plans to the United Nations before any military action was taken. And then what happened? Well, those North Korean troops, they seemed to appear and disappear as though they had had advanced knowledge of the United States actions. Well, it just makes a person wonder. Ha! Yeah, and then I have a brother-in-law who was a very patriotic Marine. He told me about the Bay of Pigs invasion to Cuba and how that was a military disaster in 1961. He also told me about why the United States went into Vietnam, specifically because a United States ship was torpedoed. And then, you know what, our history has proven that that ship went down because of its old boiler that blew up, and it was not sunk by a missile. But you don't hear those stories very much. You just have to listen. And now, how about the Gulf War? A part of why we went into that war was because there was an English-speaking Kuwaiti teenage girl who witnessed Iraqi soldiers throwing babies out of incubators. It turned out that the story was untrue, and the girl was a daughter of a U.S. embassy worker there. And the evidence indicates that she was coached to tell that story. But do we ever hear the rest of the story? No, very seldom. And even later, after the United States went into Iraq, We went in because of the many reports of Iraq having weapons of mass destruction. And then a couple of years later, what do we find out? Many United States sources had to admit that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So what do we have going on now? We have good indications that the United States will go to war with North Korea. And maybe I agree that we should. But I think it would be good to know as many facts as we can first. I think about North Korea and their economy. Can they build a computer? Can they build a car? Can they build a launch vehicle to carry us a missile? Can they build a missile? The ones that they're firing? Well, it doesn't look like their society has the infrastructure to do all that. It just doesn't look to me like that at all. So I say, be not deceived. We all have examples that we can look at in the past of people being deceived. Certainly, as human beings we are, and certainly as a country we have been. We must be very careful. Now, I am patriotic, but I look at the truth of the matters also. I would like to know the things that are going on. And it's not easy to find the truth in history. The truth of what I was taught changed at each level of my education, sometimes a little and sometimes a lot. As I went from high school to junior college to college, and then to university, and then university lower level and university upper level classes, it changed a little bit or it changed a lot. And now today, with further independent study that I have done, I learn more information and I find out history is different from what I was taught. Sometimes there are just little twists and turns, and other the times the changes are very significant. So we must be diligent to search out the truth before we have commitments that really have been improper to have made. Oh, yes, and what is one of those big ones? We believe that in 2001, two planes caused three buildings to fall into a free fall collapse in New York City. And we believe that a plane hit our Pentagon. But there are still no cameras, no camera footage of that event, with some very minor exceptions. Part of a video showed. But the most photographed building in the world probably didn't have one. Well, it had a partial video of that so-called plane hitting the building. There's just things going on. What do we learn? We learn things that are surprises. It happens all the time in life. It just happens. Yeah, something is wrong with this story. And what it is, we just have to keep looking before we find out what the truth is. The American people, I had the idea that we know something is wrong. But what is it? I think in the big picture, we, the American people, do need to be careful. Ignorance is not a good thing. And I'm afraid for the consequences that God will allow to befall our nation because of what we, the people, have, in a way, allowed our nation to do to others. We acted in a way that we as a country had no spiritual jurisdiction to act upon. We will see, won't we? But it's a pretty big concern when our country acts when we don't have the right to act. That was a mouthful. Yeah, it was. Well, the proof of the things that I just mentioned are certainly not known facts as well known and agreed upon, but you have to be able to discern what is reasonable and what the reasonably good sources are. And you do that through practice. You do that throughout life. And that's about the only way you can kind of gather that understanding. You look and you listen. And if you never look, you never see. So I think it's what we want to do to pursue truth and to exercise discernment. Yep. I remember in 1995, there was the Oklahoma City bombing. I believed our government when they told us what happened. And that was until I heard a taped presentation by General Ben Pardon, retired. Oh, United States General Ben Pardon. He was a demolition and explosives expert. And in his presentation, he explained how it was impossible for that courthouse building to have been brought down by that truck bomb. The pattern of destruction illustrated that it could not have been what really happened. And then I remember in 2001, I remember the shock of seeing the World Trade Center towers falling. And I wanted to get those terrorists, get back at them. That's what I wanted. And gradually, I heard things over the years. A few years of hearing what that group, the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, every once in a while I heard something by them. And I realized that they had very good arguments about why the airplanes could not have taken those two trade towers down. Not to mention Building 7, you know, that 47-story building 100 yards away from the Twin Towers, which was not hit by a plane, but it collapsed in a free fall, just like the towers did. Questions. Questions were raised in my thoughts, and they were kind of confirmed when I heard another testimony. That was pretty recently. There was a major general, Admiral Stubblebine, U.S. Army, retired. And after a few years of kind of pondering what happened in the 9/11 event, he realized that the official story was absolutely not true. And that the 9/11, that is the Twin Towers and the Building 7, were actually a controlled demolition. So here he is, a patriot who doesn't want to believe anything but the best about the United States and its government, even the shadow government. He wants to believe the best. But him, a major general, U.S. Army retired, Albert Stubblebine, carefully said that the official 9/11 report or story was absolutely not true, and that it was a controlled demolition. So all this information that we get is extremely challenging to everyone, to our sense of trust that we've had for all of our lives. We have trusted our government, and we have had a belief that our government would automatically be looking out for our best interests. That the United States citizen could rely on the United States government. And to entertain any sort of an idea that our government is untrustworthy, it's just shattering to our sense of security and to our sense of righteousness. to think that there could be evil elements in our United States government is a shock to our belief system, what we fundamentally believe. And I don't say that lightly. It's certainly shocking to me, and it was a big concern to even entertain that kind of an idea. It took me a very long time, years, to believe that this might be true, that there might be some kind of a truth to it, let alone to believe it. So I can understand that anyone would question what I'm saying, anyone at all. It's just something you want to doubt. You don't want to believe that we could question what was going on. But do question it. Question me. And look carefully. Look for yourself and see what you want to make out of it. If you want to kind of grasp an understanding of other similar concepts, look at them. And one of the things I think of is, why were so many human beings slaughtered in World War II? You know, there were the Nazi concentration camps. They slaughtered millions. And a part of the reason why is that those people were not able to act. They heard the rumors. They heard the stories. But they couldn't believe those stories. It was just too far out of their normal life and belief that the good German government would never, and the good German people, would never do anything that was harmful to them. After all, they trusted their government, they trusted the German people, and they trusted that no human being could do what was rumored to another person. That's kind of like us. And besides, if those rumors were actually true, well, then they would have to go to the trouble of actually doing something to make a change, to go out of their way of what was their normal behavior. And to do something different, well, that takes a lot of extra thought and a lot of extra effort. So it's just not easy. Nobody wants to do something extra, and as a person who has studied history, I've studied the history of wars. Wars seems to be how we record history, the history of mankind. An unfortunate concept that we look at wars all the time, but they are events, and certainly they do go on, they have gone on. Scholars and officials have changed our concept of history from what God does to as loving mankind, and that God offered mankind a path to spend eternity with God. So there's been a change from that to the story of mankind being about wars, about fighting and dying. So you could say that's a plot. It could be a secret plot too, by the certain Luciferian entities. Yeah. So war, you look at the wars, look at World War I, the nation of Germany thought it would be a quick and easy war, that it would be short and glorious. That's what the citizens thought. And it's so often the case with war that we just don't even look at it anymore. We think it'll be different from what it'll be, and we think of it as, even today, we think of a quick and easy war. Who knows how long it was going to be a trouble for, I mean a war for, or that a lot of people would die, both our people and their people, and that it would be bloody and long. We just tend not to think like that. And then there was World War II, and it was called the War to End All Wars. Well, World War II. I can't help but think of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president at that time. and before in 1940, when he was running for his third term in office as the President of the United States, he said many times, to many groups of people, this is what he said. I say again and again and again that I will never send American boys to fight on foreign soil. That's a quote. But history shows that even while he was saying this repeatedly in public, he was proclaiming this, but he was preparing the United States to enter World War II. And then there was that terrible shock and surprise of the Pearl Harbor attack. Now, for most people, it came as a surprise. But there were people who paid closer attention, and they read the news thoroughly, like the page 5 news and the back pages. And they were not as surprised, because there were on the edges of the news people who recognized that there were different stories besides the headlines. And if you read those other parts of the news, you could see other things going on. You could see that there were efforts for war underway. And I'd like to quote another thing that FDR said, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, ex-president. He said that in politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, it can be bet that it was planned that way. Yep, that's a quote too. So, nothing happens by accident, maybe not even Pearl Harbor or the World War II. Well, people tell us lots of things, and somehow, yesterday and today, we have to look close at everything. Because if we just pay attention to the main ideas, well, we can expect to be deceived. We have to look at the little details. We have to look at the things that are going on, what you could call behind the scenes. But it is just like each and every one of us to want to follow the easy path. Follow and believe what is easy. Isn't that what we all like to do? Yes, but we are told to be careful about that kind of a choice. We're told about that in Matthew 7:13-14. And it says, enter ye into at the narrow gate, because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereby. Because narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So all I can say is, we want to be among the few that find that narrow gate, which leads to eternity with Jesus Christ. Yes, let's choose heaven. Ha! For sure! Choose heaven and not hell. So, you just have to examine your own position and make sure that you have that clear understanding. One day you might have to take that so-called proverbial exam, which really is about your relationship with Jesus. Now, I think you can realize that Jesus is the judge, and he knows your every thought, and your every emotion, and your every motivation and action. Jesus knows. So ask yourself if you're living faithfully to Jesus, because he is the judge, and it is apparent that he knows your every thought and your every action. He tells us to keep his commandments and to love your neighbor, our neighbor. I happen to like that verse in John 14:20. There's also one in John 15:21, and it's about loving your neighbor, really. So have a look at it. Probably the most important part of what I've spoken today is what Jesus commands us. Love your neighbor. Yep, I could add a few more words here, but it seems like that is the most important part. What Jesus said, love your neighbor. Well, you know also that I am concerned about preparing for the who knows what. Firstly, prepare for eternity. That is important. And secondly, to prepare for some kind of an unknown event here on earth. It's unknown. We don't know. All we can do is kind of try to understand what kind of things just might be coming and to have a little preparation for what might be coming. And I do think it's important to show compassion. You know, something like the love of Jesus Christ for us, to love our neighbors here on earth. And that's such an important part. So what is coming here on earth in these last days? I like to look at that in Matthew chapter 24. And what do you see? You see wars, famines, and earthquakes. Wars, famines, and earthquakes. Wow. How can you prepare for that? Well, I think famines is the easiest one to prepare for, because we know the answer to that. The answer to a famine is food and water. So think about that. Get some food, get some water, get a water filter. Yes. And wars. If you think of wars, does that mean a national war or domestic terrorism? Either one could be a war. And North Korea, that could be a war. Just think of all we could do to that country, North Korea. They're threatening us. But how often do we think of those two North Korean satellites which go over our country every day? There has, for quite a long time, been speculation about what was on those two satellites. It certainly is not public knowledge, but there's speculation that they hold a miniaturized EMP nuclear weapon to put electromagnetic pulse all across the United States. And we can also recognize that both Russia and China are allies of North Korea. And they both have warned the United States against an attack, especially if we attack first North Korea. They have warned us about that. There is a kind of a standoff. Will it continue, or will it begin World War III? Well, I sure don't know the answer to that question, but it seems to be something that is really in the news today. And it's something to pay attention to as a possibility. And don't forget today. Today is November 4th, and it's the day which, for months, Antifa, I can't remember what it stands for, but everybody knows that abbreviation, Antifa, and they have planned nationwide protests in our big cities. They have planned violence. And they plan to keep it up until our president and our vice president are removed from office. Well, I don't know what it'll mean is coming, but it's not a good thing to have that kind of an interaction within our country. We are supposed to have a representative government, and the change is supposed to come through our vote. So, we should all be a little bit concerned about this, because the Antifa groups want to have our president and our vice president step down through violence, through steps of violence. That is an area of concern. And another thing about this weekend, And I just have to say, it's an odd coincidence that there is also a nationwide drill taking place. It is an EMP drill, electromagnetic pulse drill, as if we had suffered an EMP attack. And who is sponsoring this? FEMA and Homeland Security. And there are military communications that are that they want to test their network to make sure that everything's working. So I just think it's a very interesting coincidence that it is the very same day. They have November 4th and November 5th set aside for the test, but it's the very same day that Antifa wants to start their demonstrations and resistance and perhaps even violence in our country. I think that we should not close our eyes to whatever is going on, whatever it is. And I think it is okay to notice that it just is a striking coincidence that in the past there have been various drills and at the same time tragedies occurred, essentially at the same time. Do you remember how for days leading up to and ending on the very same day as the 9/11 event, there were national and widespread military drills training our people how to respond to such an unlikely event as a passenger plane being hijacked and flown into a building or into a city? That was a drill actively going on right when the 9/11 event took place. Striking, isn't it? Another striking thing is that during this recent Las Vegas shooting, the Las Vegas Police Department had an active shooter training going on, which had to be completed by September 30th. And that was the day before that shooting. So it's just a very interesting thing how the terrorism drills and the terrorism event just happen to attract each other. And I can only say it makes you wonder. I know for that Las Vegas event, I saw the people being interviewed on TV. They said they'd been shot in different parts of their body there at Las Vegas. They were talking calmly and deliberately, and it was obvious to medical people and to me that they had not actually been shot as they said they had been shot, because there was no sign of a wound, there was no sign of blood, and there was no sign of trauma. So isn't it just too obvious that something happened that we don't know? We don't know. There's questions, there's inconsistencies, and really there's things that happened that were impossible to happen. And so that's a consistent theme of what has happened with terrorist events in the last, couple of decades, 2-3 decades. But whatever we do, we should know that whatever's coming, we're entering into a season of great uncertainty. It could be from an accidental something or other, or a natural disaster. It could be from terrorism. It could be from war. But somehow, it seems like we are entering a time of great uncertainty. So can I suggest that your preparations would be an insurance policy about that just-in-case situation? Now, I'm not one of these major preppers you have heard about, but I do have the basic food items and warmth. I think there's some important things that we each can have, just simple things, you know, like food and water. What I like to suggest is wheat and a wheat grinder, because wheat is a living food, And I think you get the most nutrition out of a food that is living. So, wheat and a wheat grinder, sugar, oil, salt. Multivitamins and a propane stove is nice. Sure, a cast iron pot's good too, with a lid. And, of course, water. As a part of water, you might consider a water filter. Water filters are good. And something to transport water in. Yeah, and don't forget those warm clothes, or maybe firewood. Something. Something like that can be a very good idea. These are the basics. Everyone has their own ideas about what preparation means. It covers a big, widespread area, but somehow I think it's just a good idea to get something. Have some preparations. Only you can figure out what they should be. You look at it, and you decide what is a good thing to have on hand. Remember that if the electricity goes out, you are done preparing. There's no more ability to prepare. Without electricity, you can't go to the store. You can't buy things because their cash registers need electricity to work. And if their electricity goes out, well, they just usher you right out of the store and say, "Don't worry, we'll put everything back. You just have to leave the building now." That's what they do. Electricity goes out and you're not going to buy another thing. So your preparing is done. So have a look at these things and consider the things that you want. Consider that, get it now. The gas stations would close down too. You can't pump gas without electricity. Not only for the transaction, but also to pump it out of the ground. The pumps don't work. You're not going to buy gas if you don't have it. So in that kind of a situation, all you have is what you possess, right then, right there. Now, I know there's people who say, "Oh, get some coins, silver coins, gold coins." Sure, okay, get it. But I think that if there really is an emergency situation, people are going to want the stuff that you can buy, the things. They're not going to want silver coins. They don't care about your silver. They want your stuff. Hungry people want food. They don't want stuff. And that's the trouble with the idea about get your silver, get your gold. Sure, it can be a good idea, and if it's possible to get it, yeah, get it. But don't think that that's the whole answer. I do think the big part of getting through an emergency or a difficult situation is to help one another. Somehow we have to be a community. And then you get to remember Jesus' commandment. That one, remember, I like that, John 15:12, that we are to love one another as he has loved us. Now that's a lot. That's a lot of love. And you might not get it right the first time, but you can keep trying. We do try to love one another. We do try, but it doesn't say try to love one another. It says love one another as he has loved us. That's a lot to say. So we might end up sharing what we have. We might want to think about forming a community so we can help one another. Sure, where we live, maybe a larger community. I don't know the answer to that, but it's something for you to put a little bit of thought into for that just-in-case situation. And whatever you're doing, you have to remember, you're doing it without electricity and without a car. It's not that I'm predicting it, but I am saying that it is possible. And the results of such a situation would be so serious that to put a little preparation in it today is just plain a good idea. We can do it now. We can do something. So we should do something. Like I said, everybody has their own ideas on what to do. Because we don't know what'll happen. We don't even know that anything will happen. But it could. And the events that are possible seem to be growing more and more in number and more in seriousness. Severity. So, we can't know when something will happen. We don't even know what the event would be or what we each should do to prepare. We don't know the answers, but there's always something we can do, something to store, something for our supplies. And that's what I think that each one of us would do well to remember, to do something, have some steps of preparedness. And, of course, you know, this is probably the first thing we should do, is pray. Pray, ask, what should I do to prepare? Should I prepare? And that's kind of the question. Get some guidance, and the spiritual guidance is the one we can always use that, because God knows the past, the present, and the future. Only He knows what's coming. And so we ask for guidance and we ask for prayer. I mean, we ask for guidance as we pray. So historically, there's been a lot of people who have died through starvation. And often enough, starvation drives people to violence, to antisocial behavior. Or it allows people to have a slow and a quiet death. That's what starvation does. And I think we don't want to see ourselves, our family, or others starving. So, I say let's get a little food together. In a historical sense, food has been used as a weapon all through history. It's been used to eliminate your enemies. And if you have listened, you've heard people on TV or somewhere another talk about food being used as a weapon. I know I've heard Henry Kissinger talk about it, that famous statesman, and I've heard the United Nations representative say that food can be used to control people. You know, it's another way of saying it. To control the food supply, and you control the people. So, let's keep our freedom. And a part of that is being able to take care of ourselves. And I think a part of that thought can be looking after your neighbor, doing something, considering other people. And sure, you have a family too, and they need help. Or you have to assume that they will. Your family, your neighbor, there's lots of people to help if you can. So, as you consider preserving life and preserving freedom, I say have some food in your home. How much? Some people are saying days, some people are saying weeks. And as I've been talking to people, I've even heard people say years of food. Years. Hard for me to get that, but that's what a few people are saying. Look into it. I suppose the people who are saying years are talking about that solar minimum, which means that our crops will fail, they will get blights and funguses and viruses because they will have not fully grown because the weather is not warm enough to grow the crops. So that's just what some people are saying. Is it true? I don't know. But there is a logic to it. Which logic do you follow? The one that says, don't do anything, everything is fine. You can live just the way you want and have no problems. Or do you want to say, hey, there's a reason here. Look at my reasons, and if you see something, then yeah, do a little preparation. That's what I'm trying to do. Say, look, there are reasons. I don't know what, I don't know when anything will happen, but there are reasons. So I want to motivate you to take just a few steps, or even a lot. Take some steps of your own choosing. Do something for those preparations. I hope that you can prepare before a disaster strikes, because afterwards it's really too late. And to do that, the best idea is to have a plan. So you make your own plan. And if you want some ideas, oh, you can look at some broadcasts of Christ Today, because I have talked about that in the past. I suggest you look at that www.christtoday.org, all lowercase, no spaces, and it comes up. www.christtoday.org. Listen to the past episodes. I certainly like the ones in January and February. I talked about some of the preparedness things. And all these things are intended to inspire you to think, to plan, and to do. Get some ideas. Hear what possibly could go wrong and what you can do to fix it or survive it. Yes, have a look. Oh, and if you want to write me for a free brochure, that's fine, because I have a little brochure that I give away on preparedness, and it's intended to inspire you to think about things that just might happen and things you just might want to do. So inspiring thought is an idea I like. So send a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I'll send you one of those pamphlets. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember to listen to those past programs on www.christtoday.org. That's if you want to. But I'm sure glad you're listening today. It's something that we can all pay attention to, and I sure want to inspire you to think, to plan, and to do. So thank you for listening today, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Until next week. There is no greater story. The Holy Spirit burn inside.